Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And the 2 Peter reading. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness."
Great if you had the Bible passage open, Luke 18, in front of you, maybe on the service sheet or in your own Bible. I want to begin by asking, do you ever think if you have believed the right thing as a Christian? Can I say we welcome anybody who's looking in who's not a Christian? We love to encourage people to think about the Christian faith. So welcome to you. But do you ever think about, if you are a Christian, if you've believed the right thing as a Christian? Think about what we've been learning from Luke's gospel about 2 comings of Jesus. A first coming, where Jesus comes as God's King. God's Son comes into this world. He is God's King who's come to save sinners. Promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Jesus coming a first time. And then we've seen also that Jesus says he's going to come again to bring in his kingdom fully and finally. Do you ever think, well, have I believed the right thing? After all, we think that sin is a real problem between us and God. It separates us from God. We think that Jesus, God's Son, must die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. There it is, all in the Old Testament, that there'll be a sacrifice for sin, and there is God's Son dying on the cross for sin. We think about that he's raised to life and now is ascended into heaven, reigns at the right hand of God, one day to return. Do you ever think, have we believed the right thing? Will we see that we've believed the right thing? And then think, well, are we doing the right thing as we obey Jesus and his teaching? I mean, we are asked to do lots of things that the world thinks is ridiculous. So both in terms of belief and the way we live, are we doing the right thing? And of course, you may have experienced to a greater or lesser extent the world saying, well, that's ridiculous. You might be marginalized, you might be rejected. In many parts of the world, Christians suffer seriously for their faith, for saying that Jesus is the only way to God, that you must repent and believe in Christ. Do you ever think, am I praying the right thing? We prayed, we've just heard about praying to our Heavenly Father. Your kingdom come, your name be honoured. Have you ever thought, is that the right thing to pray? Will I ever see if that is the right thing to pray? Well, last week, as we looked at Luke's gospel, Jesus is teaching us what it's like to be in the kingdom, but also waiting for the kingdom to come fully and finally. And he promised that he would come again one day. What would it look like to be a Christian in the kingdom of God, saved by King Jesus, but waiting for his kingdom to come fully and finally? What should we do? Well, verse 1 of chapter 18 couldn't be clearer, could it? Look at what it says. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, as wonderfully Anna's just told us, Luke assumes that we've actually read chapter 11, where Jesus teaches us to pray, Heavenly Father, may your name be honoured, may your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's easy. Maybe some of us who are by nature people who can get discouraged or lose heart. I mean, 2,000 years later, billions of prayers by his people. Has God's kingdom come? Think about this country. So many who don't know Jesus. So many who are indifferent to the person and claims of Jesus. Think about the world. So many parts of the Muslim world or Hindu and Buddhist world still very hard in terms of and being resistant to the gospel. We might be discouraged. Let me just say that at the annual church meeting on Tuesday, please do Zoom in and attend that. I want us to think of ways actually in which the Lord has answered prayer in us and through us. There are lots of encouragements. But all of us probably know people who've not responded rightly to Jesus. And many of those prayers are prayers, if they were answered, would bring glory and honour to the God and Father of Jesus. You see, perhaps we're discouraged. See, have we believed the right thing? Are we doing the right thing, living the right way? Are we praying the right thing? And as I said, you might have experienced mockery or indifference or ridicule in speaking about Jesus and his death for our sins, that he will return one day. Somebody might say, surely you don't believe that. Why on earth do you live like that? Have we believed and done and prayed the right thing? It's easy to be discouraged, to lose hope, even to give up praying. And Jesus says here in Luke 18, verse 1, that we should always pray and not give up. You see, lots of questions that we might have. If we're honest, is his word reliable? Does God hear and care? Can God act and will he act? Will he do what is right? Will his kingdom come? And Jesus says, don't give up, keep praying. It's one of those great bits of Luke's gospel where Luke actually tells us the main message. So the preacher can't get it wrong and the reader can't get it wrong, can we? Surely. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. And Luke records this parable. Jesus tells a parable actually to give a bit more detail and depth to that point. and it's a parable about an uncaring and unjust judge. Now, sometimes in a parable, Jesus compares God to somebody or something, and Jesus says, look at this person. And the point is that God is like that person, but even more so. So think of the father in the parable of the lost son. The father in the parable of the lost son is full of mercy and grace and welcomes back his son who repents. It's a picture of the gospel, is that God is like that with us as we turn from sin and we trust Jesus. And we're welcomed back and given mercy and grace, undeserved mercy and grace. But sometimes Jesus tells a parable to make a contrast, and he says, look at this person. And the point is that God is clearly not like that. And this parable is a dramatic contrast, because just look, this judge neither feared God nor cared for people nor was interested in justice. I mean, how can you be interested in justice if you don't care for people? And actually, if you can't fear God, I have to say. But verse 2, look at what Jesus said. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And he doesn't care about the widow who Jesus speaks about in verse 3. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice. I want justice. I want things to be right. So this widow is needy. She's experienced some injustice. She wants justice. She keeps coming to the judge. He doesn't care, though. Every day she wants justice. Verse 4, for some time he, the judge, refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. So eventually this woman gets justice from, let's say, the world's worst judge, perhaps. Now, remember, this is a contrast to encourage us all to keep praying. So my first point is this, that God delights to hear and care and answer. That God delights to hear and care and answer. How different the God and Father of Jesus is to this unjust judge. How different the God and Father of Jesus is for his chosen people. He is our loving and gracious Heavenly Father. Even this uncaring, unjust judge heard, even when he didn't want to hear. But our Father, our Heavenly Father, delights to hear the prayers of his children, of his people. In Luke 11, Jesus already taught his followers, our Father, pray, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. I just want to remind us of the significance that we as Christians pray to our Father. A Christian prays to a Heavenly Father. We're his children. Just think about this, that Jesus saves us to share his own communion with his Father. Remember, from all eternity, the Father has loved the Son and the Son has loved the Father in this perfect relationship of love and with the Holy Spirit. And let me just say that prayer is learning to enjoy what Jesus has always enjoyed in eternity. So Jesus dies, paying the price for our sins, to open a way to God so that we can have access to God as our Father, so that we enjoy what Jesus has always enjoyed, a relationship with a perfect Heavenly Father. And of course, he delights to hear the prayers of his children. He cares and he answers. Remember the story of the American Civil War soldier who was refused leave, and he decided to visit Washington and petition President Lincoln in person. And at the door, he was not allowed to see the president. And a boy saw this and told him, look, I can take you in to speak to the president. What do you mean? He said, just follow me. And the boy then guided the man past all the guards and officials, and knocking on the door of the president, he said, Father, it's Todd. And President Lincoln said, come in, son. What can I do for you? And the boy entering the room said, I have a man here who wants to talk to you. And the relationship that Jesus has always had with the Father, he now shares with us. Now, the reason I want to say that is I think that it's picked up in this sermon. Here is an uncaring, unjust judge. But our Heavenly Father delights to hear and care and answer according to his sovereign will. Then secondly, God will bring justice. Verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. God answers prayers and will bring justice. To bring justice means that everything will be set right one day. Now, I think the main sense here is the sense that God's people will be vindicated. His chosen one, his people, his family, those redeemed in Christ, they will be vindicated. To be vindicated means to be seen to have believed and done the right thing. To be seen to be on the right side. Just think of vindication. I mean, think of the Chinese doctor who spoke the truth about the virus and people didn't listen and the authorities tried to keep him quiet because he gave his life for that truth. He was vindicated quite clearly. It was serious. And the sense here, I think, is vindication in that sense. The people, it will be seen to be right, that God's people will be vindicated, that they believed the right thing and done the right thing and they were on the right side. See, when we pray, your kingdom come, of course, it is a prayer for God to bring justice, to set things right. It's worth reflecting on that, isn't it? That all those who've rejected the offer of salvation in Jesus will be judged and face an awful eternity. Those who've opposed God and his people will be judged. Many people will mock you or dismiss you or ignore you for saying that, say, sin matters before the holy God. Many people will dismiss and ignore for saying that the death of Jesus is the only way that you can be right with God and those sins can be dealt with. But you see, one day, your trust will be seen to be right and wise. There'll be vindication. Everything will be set right. And of course, it's enormous, this, isn't it? You know, this world is a world of disease and decay and disaster and death. And one day, God will bring justice. Everything will be set right. There'll be a new creation. And we live longing for that day. And that belief will be vindicated when God will set everything right. He will set everything right when Jesus comes again. So I want to keep saying that the sense of this, I think, is that God's people will be vindicated. They'll seem to have done the right thing. Justice will be done. To have believed and done the right thing, it will be there, visible, public. And it'll be vindicated. There'll be vindication for praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, your name be honored. So I think one of the difficult things of this is that we tend not to experience great suffering and persecution and rejection for Christians. Now, having said that, I think there's a lot more of it than there used to be in this country. We are marginalized, aren't we? And we are mocked and ridiculed. If you speak clearly for Christ, that he's the only way of salvation, you will be mocked and ridiculed and rejected. And we shouldn't be surprised at that. Jesus says that anyone who follows him must deny themselves, take up the cross daily and follow him. The Apostle Peter in his first letter to Timothy says, everyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Couldn't be clearer. You live following Jesus Christ, obeying his commands, you will be persecuted. And like this widow, all over the world, the Church of Jesus Christ is treated unjustly. There is suffering and persecution, mockery and ridicule. But one day, there'll be justice. God's people will be vindicated. Look at the two questions that Jesus then asked, verse 7. Will he keep putting them off? Will he keep putting them off as they cry out to him day and night? Your kingdom come, your will be done, your name be honoured. No, every day you pray, your kingdom come, brings closer the day when God will bring justice, when he will set everything right, when what you believe and what you stand for will be seen to be right and wise and true. But look at verse 8, but I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. He will see that they get justice and quickly. Quickly. Surely it's been 2,000 years. I think that means that he won't delay unnecessarily. Imagine there's an important piece of work that you've got to do. Your mates want you down the pub. You say, I'll come quickly, but the work takes time. What you mean is that you won't delay unnecessarily. There's an important work to do. I think that's the sense here. When Jesus says they'll get justice and quickly, we need to understand God's timing and his unshakable work of salvation, his plan of salvation. We had read 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. So Peter says that 2,000 years is like 2 days to God. It's no time at all. I love to think of the great delays of the Bible, and it keeps lots of things in perspective. As God works out his great plan of salvation, revealed first of all in the Old Testament. Remember how God promised to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. He promised, but it was 400 years before he raised up Moses, who would lead them out of slavery in Egypt. But God and his word could be trusted. God promised through prophets to send his Christ, his king, to save his people from their sins. Malachi was the last prophet. And then there was 400 years waiting. But then in the fullness of time, God sent his son. God kept his promise. God can be trusted. His word can be trusted. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God's king has come a first time to save sinners. That's the great work of the kingdom, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. There is a delay while that essential work goes on. And the kingdom comes as one sinner after another responds rightly to King Jesus, receives the offer of salvation, repents and believes. And that work, of course, is going out all to all nations. And of course, we're workers in God's great plan. But then thirdly, God's King will come again. God's King will come again. The Lord Jesus ends with this question at the end of verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? See, God's King will come again. Will he find faith on earth? And the point is clear. Keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. Trust him. Even when everything all around looks tough and is difficult, as it will be. Jesus said it would be, that there would be suffering and rejection and persecution. But his chosen people will be saved. And what a source of comfort and assurance that is. What a source of comfort and assurance it is that if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been chosen by him. Not because of anything that you have done or because of who you are, but solely, entirely of his sovereign grace. And you can trust him knowing that you're a precious child of God, chosen from all eternity. So keep trusting him and keep praying. You see, that's the big point, because prayer expresses our faithful dependence on God and his son Jesus. We keep trusting and we keep praying because prayer expresses our dependence on him. Don't give up. Keep praying. May your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. The Lord Jesus will return. Justice will be done. His people will be vindicated. So keep praying. And don't lose heart. When we go into breakout groups after the service, please do stay on. Why don't you ask each other a question? You know, what can I pray for you to help you trust and serve Jesus this week? Very simple. I mean, that's not threatening, is it? You know, something, what can I pray for you to help you trust and serve Jesus this week? Maybe what can I pray for you to help you become more like Christ? Please pray for me to be more loving in this situation, to be more patient. You see, that's God's will to be done, his kingdom to come. So why not think about asking that question in the breakout groups later?